right, Bill Barty, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors. And when it snows in Charlotte, our usual solution is to head for the coast.
Let's do it.
But it didn't work this time. They got snow as well.
As we opened with some Jimmy Buffett music, LA, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's
5
right.
a.m. anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're listening to us via the airwaves of News 1110-99.3 WBT, welcome back to our Carolina Outdoors. Many people are joining us around the world via podcast. You can access us at jessebrowns.com. Just kick on the podcast link, and we have all four segments broken down for your listening pleasure, and that is around the world, except for parts of China and North Korea. He's Don Yeager. I'm Bill Barty. And, Don, I've got a little bit of good news, I think, for you here on the Carolina Outdoors. Maybe. There's a group called OSearch Research Group. It's a nonprofit research group that's doing a study of the great white shark and their habits of travel, specifically to us here on the South Carolina coast. The group has found out that there are more sharks in the South Carolina waters during the summer. So that doesn't sound like good news. The good news part is they're further offshore. Maybe the bad news is, during the winter, they're closer to shore.
You know, sharks are just like cockroaches.
If you see one, that
there's
means
there's about a dozen out there. Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Listen, we're going to bring Brian Frazier on to the Carolina Outdoors. He's a fisheries biologist with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. They're using much of the OSearch group's research to learn more about what these fish are doing off the South Carolina coast. And let's bring Brian Frazier onto the Carolina Outdoors right now. Brian, welcome.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, you got a bunch of fish swimming around out there. We all know that here because the estuary system and the coastal life system off our South Carolina coast, we all know is rich in fish and nutrients and all of that sort of thing. Is this great white shark population and its closeness and population that is there on the coast a surprise to you and biologists down there?
It's not necessarily a surprise. We've known, you know, since the 70s and 80s when commercial fishing really ramped up, that there were white sharks here. However, we did think that they were a little more rare than they are. We thought, you know, there's a bunch of these guys and they're offshore, and then occasionally they'll come up into these coastal waters and they'll, you know, swim around, and but they don't stick around long, and then they head back offshore. Well, what we found out with these studies that are ongoing is that it's really the opposite. You know, that these sharks are actually strongly coastal and spend most of their time anywhere from, you know, 5 to 20 miles offshore during the winter, and then they're making these occasional forays into offshore waters.
Well, you can't blame them for not being where the food is, and that's certainly where the food is in the wintertime is off our coast, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, they're taking advantage of multiple resources. You know, there's been some evidence they're eating the big adult red drum. There's big aggregations of those in the wintertime in those coastal waters. We know they take advantage of dolphins and whales when they can. You know, the North Atlantic right whale population has shrunk drastically. There's only, you know, a few hundred animals left, but they used to key in on that food resource. And then in the summer, most of them are booging it back up off of Massachusetts. They've got a big seal population there that's really been increasing. So they're a lot more concerned because those sharks are feeding not 5 miles offshore, but they're feeding on the shore. So for Massachusetts, they got a lot more to worry about than we do at the moment.
Now, this guy's the top of the food chain, right? There's nobody that's a predator of him?
There has been some evidence of killer whales feeding on white sharks. However, in our area, killer whales, you know, don't really occur. They have been, you know, occasional sightings in the Atlantic, but for the most part, that we don't really have a killer whale population. So, in our area, they're the top dog for sure.
Now, how big are these sharks? I mean, most of our people and listeners are only encounter with a great shark, white shark, is through the movie Jaws. So give us some reality on the size of these critters.
Well, they're pretty big animals. I'm not going to lie. They're born, you know, about 4 feet. And then, you know, a mature white shark is going to be 14 or 15, you know, maybe even 16, 17 feet and weigh several thousand pounds up to 4,000 pounds. So these are pretty big animals, for sure. You know, obviously, you know, we're not on the menu for them. You know, definitely in our area, we just don't see them interacting with people at all, which is a good thing. So we can watch and be fascinated with them without having to cue the Jaws music or anything like that.
Thank goodness. Brian Frazier, a fisheries biologist with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, is joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors. We're talking about kind of the travel habits and the living habits of the great white shark. And, Brian, you've been down there in Charleston for a while. You went to the College of Charleston, a biology student, part of OSearch, the nonprofit research group who's doing and helping with this data and the studies. Part of their program is tagging these sharks off of Hilton Head coming up here in latter January. Did you ever have to do something like that in your biology studies there at the College of Charleston or further along, tagging a great white shark?
You know, not at the College of Charleston, unfortunately, we didn't have those opportunities. But, you know, since I've worked at the Department of Natural Resources, I started in about 2001, and we've probably tagged, and I know I've handled in that time over 30,000 sharks, but the opportunity to handle a white shark is a little bit of a different thing, and we've actually, using our gears, we've never caught one, and it's because our gears are largely not capable of catching them. For all we know, you know, we've interacted with them before and they've bitten, you know, sometimes we you know, we'll catch a 6-foot shark and that 6-foot shark will be cut in half. So, you know, it's possible we're interacting with them, but our gear's just not really capable of landing them. So, you know, until OSearch, you know, kind of came around, we weren't really having the opportunity to tag and sample those guys.
Well, what do you look forward as OSearch continues their studies and what they've given you data-wise thus far? What do you look forward to learning more about the great white sharks and maybe the habits of other fish along the coast there?
Well, you know, what we really see from these sharks is there is a lot of individual variability. And when we see that, it's a matter of, you know, at that point we need more data. So that's really what we're hoping to accomplish, is to, you know, get additional data to try to see what patterns we can tease out, because some of these sharks are very prolific pingers, and by pinging, that's when the satellite tag that's attached to their dorsal fin actually has to come out of the water in order for us to get any data. So some of them tend to be very surface oriented, and we get a ton of data. Mary Lee, who you know, unfortunately, I think her the battery on her tag has died, but she was a prolific pinger, gave us a ton of data. And then some of these other sharks that have been tagged, you know, we have 1/100th of the data from them, but the data that we do have is different, you know, which suggests they're feeding in deeper waters. They're not necessarily surface-oriented feeders, or, you know, and they might be swimming in different areas because they are feeding differently. So it's really a matter, you know, of the more data we can get, the more we can actually kind of tease out the patterns, you know, despite that individual variability, and really see the broad scale movements of these fish.
Brian Frazier, thank you for the information. I hope we can get you back on the Carolina Outdoors as more data comes in and continue the conversation of the great white shark off our South Carolina coast. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Off he goes. That's Brian Frazier, fisheries biologist with the South Carolina DNR. We're going to take a quick break and bring back more of the Carolina Outdoors.